Thank you very much. So now, if there are anyone among you who would like to ask any questions of the panelists that are in front of you, please go to the microphones. The question that I would like to ask, we started talking about it indirectly. We talk about globalization, we talk about Quebec 2001. For the last few weeks, what we've been learning is that how many policemen there will be in the Quebec region for this event. I think if we, if the tendency is maintained, I think that by the month of April we'll be counting the number of people, policemen, but we won't be talking about how many unemployed were have been recruited in order to open up the terrain for this free trade agreement. I think that we need to think about this now. I think we have to think about it quickly, both within the trade union groups and social groups, because I think that the debate has started off very poorly, and that if we don't react very quickly, we're going to miss the boat, and perhaps to miss one of our most important collective obligations, and not to just talk among us and those that know a little bit or a lot about the problems of globalization and free trade, but I think we need to go towards the people using their own language and make them understand, both workers and labor jacks and judges and civil servants, what are the issues involved with globalization. Otherwise, we're going to completely miss the boat. I'm just going to take three questions, and then I'll let them answer. So three by three. So I'd just like to make a comment. We were talking about the marketization, which is a very important part of the economic game, which is being played and negotiated in secret. And I'd just like to put up talk about parallel about another tendency, which is a lot of impact on the groups, particularly trade union groups. This is corporatism. And this is the best approach for those that control the economy to get things passed very quietly. For example, I'm a student at UQAM, and they negotiated the as part of an economic tendency to increase the number of students in each course. It's a very corporative example. There was no consultation at large to say what we need is to increase the quality of the course or anything. What we more support, and all the professors are happy with this, so that's what the students have an impact or on the students or the lecturers, everything is nobody bothers with. So I think this problem is we're very corporatist. Everybody wants their own thing. The unemployed are worried about this. The women are worried about women's rights. And we're not trying to integrate within a more global context. And it's very difficult to work. I think that the various unions in Quebec have a very important role to play in support of the other organizations that want to mobilize on a more wider basis. And it's not this Mr. Dagenet that can fix this up right away, but I'd like to have his comment on this corporatism, which is more and more and is in favor of the economic players and of those, all of those that support NAFTA and the upcoming FTAA. So a third comment, and then I'll leave the panelists, let the panelists answer. I just wanted to know, in terms of the People's Summit, I think it's very important to reach the largest number of people possible. And here in Quebec, it's the media that are the most important, television and radio, etc. Why do you want us to carry out a People's Summit in Quebec the same day? As it was, you were saying, why not do it before or after or elsewhere that wouldn't expect us to be there and there wouldn't be as much of a police presence? Do it next door where the media would be advised of our presence. And perhaps it would be easier to do this. Why do you want to do it the same day when all the media are going to be busy with the summit of the chiefs of state, of the heads of state? Since there was a direct answer to this question, we thought of doing it that way. And I think Hector said that the dates of the parallel summit are a little bit before the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th of April, because we thought that during the actual period, all of the spotlights of the media will be focused on the official summit and perhaps on any confrontations that there might be. This was a debate that we had among ourselves, and which is not over yet. We'll go to the end. and to try and assure us that this whole police aspect and confrontation not obscure the content, which is what is the most important part. So it's true, this is right, that as I was saying before, we're in the social political terrain in terms of the influence, to trying to influence the governments, and we're trying, and to do this we have to influence public opinion, which means the media are very important. We thought of not doing it in Quebec City. For the moment, we're going to continue doing it in Quebec City. Perhaps the circumstances might force us to go elsewhere. For the moment, it's going to be Quebec City right before the summit, but perhaps one day of overlap. The biggest demonstrations should be the Saturday the 20th, which is the day of the inauguration of the official summit, which starts the 20th in the evening. If this is a Saturday, so it should allow us to mobilize the largest number of people possible for the demonstrations. And at this moment, the program of the Parallel Summit should include fora on different subjects, public activities, teach-ins and other types of activities, and street activities, demonstrations, numerous public demonstrations. So that concerns what we're talking about, the date and the place. The question of corporatism. In practice, this is the main concern that we have. This applies as well to the trade union, to the CNTU as well, because we have played a role in setting up the Continental Social Alliance. And because of this, we've been trying to be systematic about this. It's not simple. Systematically, we've been trying to bring together the concerns of the trade union organizations, labor organizations, women's organizations, ecological organizations, etc. And so Hector was saying before that as of September 13th, 14th, and 15th of September, there's going to be a meeting in Mexico City of the leaders and participants in the Continental Social Alliance of all these different types of organizations. So this is a very legitimate concern. We also are convinced that this can't be a battle that anybody can win alone. Everybody has to do this together. It isn't easy. It's a constant operation to keep things in common. It started in Sao Paulo during the first meeting. Then there was a second People's Summit in Santiago de Chile in 98. Where all the different popular forces came together, labor and everything. And so what I think that it is, are there problems in the operation? Is it something perfect? No, but we're doing what we can. And when we're talking about the police, my personal concern is that there's going to be many, many cops there. Those that think that the cops, there's going to be three different police forces that are going to be competing with each other. They're Sûreté du Québec, which is concerned with keeping the streets open, and they're subcontracting out to the RCMP, and the RCMP is going to be responsible for the security of individuals, particularly foreigners. And then there's going to be the Quebec City Police, who are going to, they've already, during the youth summit, they were very rough, and so they have a certain, they like doing this. So my personal opinion that all three police forces are going to be rivalizing between themselves. Fourth, and the Americans will be there too as well, and because they are coming. So we know that when we look at the official figure, there can be 3,000 officials, 3,000 journalists, and 3,000 of this personal security. When I saw the article in the Soleil, who's surprised in the first of all, and second of all, this is a very, things are starting off very poorly if the media are only concentrating on the police action. And our main concern is what are we going to do to not get arrested by the cops. I think that we should be thinking more about how we're going to do to have an impact on the various governments, rather than to say how are we going to manage to avoid the police, because I would not like this to turn into a war in Quebec during the last 2 years, during 2 days next year. That's my personal answer as well. And I don't know, there's just something that just isn't working right. It seems clear that we have to think about other formula. That we have this. There's a, and the official governments, they're blocking everything. So we need to know how we can get texts that are structured in such a way that they are clear to everybody. And for this, we need help in trying to get these texts out, to send them out by fax, on the internet or whatever. But with the official press, we have a surprising level of blockage. And here in Quebec in particular, there are fewer newspapers here that have all these that are disseminated as far as they can. So I think that there's something that we need to talk about within the context of Alternative, how we're going to approach this problem in terms of, which brings us back to strategy. Hector said, we can't not be present in Quebec City. As in an alliance, we can't not be there. But there are others that think that aren't part of the alliance that also have the right to be there. It's a ritual. And what we also have to see is that it's, if it's a ritual, not just because if we go there, we're going to be able to meet up with the chiefs of state and then we're going to be kissing their hands. We're going to this ritual because this allows us to show a certain amount of relationship of the, between the different forces involved, and we can't avoid this. So what we need is to maintain a certain balance of power here. So that if it next time, if it's in San Jose, so that there'd be an even wider balance of power here. We can't control the event because this is something that limits us, but at least this event allows us to think together about a certain number of questions and to formalize our approaches. And there's some debates which will be insufficient and some statements which will be insufficient. There's no popular parliament in the throughout the Americas, but at least this is one way of making things go forward. So the strategy within the alliance of discussing different alternatives goes against this idea of secretive, of everything being secretive, saying that we cannot even accept the type of consultation that the government is trying to impose on us, because the problem isn't that the feminist movement, that they listen to this movement, feminist, environmentalist, or labor movement, or whatever. It's not to listen to one or the other. It's we're going to give the federal executive the idea of putting these different groups together. If we do that, we'll be a laughing stock. These are taking all things out of their context without their emptying them of their context. What is a feminist idea? What is an unenvironmentalist? There's a debate to be carried out between ourselves and between the different components. We have to build up this type of universality that they're trying to take away from us. It's not everybody doing everything on their own that's going to be able to go forward. The different governments and the authorities, are you think they're going to synthesize this for us? No. Something's moving. There's no parliamentary. There's no way for us to carry out so we have to debate between ourselves, which means that we have a lot of distance to cover, which means we have to have a more long-term vision, because otherwise, after Quebec, we might as well go home and it's all over. That's not the problem. The problem isn't that democracy exists and that there's something missing. The thing is that democracy is being lost. So we have to put this forward. It's not just at the commercial level. If it was just at the trade level, I think I might just go for a swim. That's such a very nice day. That's, in fact, what I will be doing later. Thank you very much, Dovla. If there are other people who would like to make another question, the three people that are there, I'd like to be a bit the agent provocateur or the devil's advocate and ask an embarrassing question. George Lebel this morning went over it rapidly. He said globalization and opposition to globalization has led to reactions and has created reactionaries. And Dorval once has said that we have to oppose the FTAA, which means that we have to also question the NAFTA and previous agreements. But all of this is going on within political parties. Here in Quebec, we're not like in France. We don't have a party, an official right or extreme right-wing party, and we don't also have communist parties or real leftist parties. So what do we do in the case? What kind are we supposed to say to the journalists and other people that we would like to inform when we tell them why are we against globalization? And I'd like to say right away, They're going to say if you're against globalization, you're reactionary, you're rightist. You want to defend your territory. So how, what kind of an alliance can we put together with these people saying we have the same values as you, but we don't have the same social viewpoint? Can we, within a bigger can we have a coalition with the nationalist right? Can we defend the perhaps the right-wing radicals are in favor of some of modulation of globalization because to arrive at certain objectives, and although we have other social view, perhaps that this moderation and this breaking of globalization might be something that could be positive. And what we're saying here in Alternative, we want to give more power to our representatives in our parliaments, but it also seems to me that these are very general proposals, whereas at the political level, the journalists have a tendency to say, either you're for globalization or you're against it. If you're against it, you're reactionaries, period. And let's talk about something else. I'd like to hear what you might have to say, different panelists, on this, the opposition to globalization and nationalist parties that defend certain territorial values, and should we turn our backs on the backs on these people completely, or is there, do they have some role to play? One second comment, and then a third one. I would like to continue with the somewhat provocative attitudes, so same as what we just heard. We're talking about the anti-democratic nature of the integration process, and about these governments, we're saying is if there was some kind of democracy previously, and that is being stolen from us, as if before the agreements between governments or between corporations were part of a wider discussion with the labor movement, the women's movements, or groups in general, what we used to call the social or popular movements, and which not what we call today the civil society in the postmodernist terms. And we would like to talk about how the actual bourgeoisie and corporations do not practice any types of consultation or participation of popular organizations. I think it's very important. And we talk about inequalities between countries, the asymmetry between different countries, between larger and smaller countries. But there's another problem. The other problem is the democracy among ourselves. Because among ourselves, what we can see, and I think it's something that is a part of the original sin, is that we continue within the organizations of the civil society an avant-gardist attitude. There's a group, an elite within the civil society that are very well informed about the process, but there's also a majority of the participation at the grassroots level who don't know anything. I've been part of the process for many years. I was in Santiago, I was in Costa Rica, I was in Toronto. We were talking about the need to inform and educate. There are thousands of people that are in quotes that are part of the social alliance, but that have no information. They don't really know what's going on. We've tried to put together a project of information for Canadian at the level of Canada, English Canada, for the after the Toronto meeting. But this was against the spirit of what is practiced by a number of the members of the alliance. So they said that if we can have enough people, perhaps we could do something. But we won't have people if we can't inform the people. The people don't feel that they're a part of the process. And I see that this is still missing at the social alliance. And I think we need for Quebec 2001, we have to arrive with a very wide social force that would have the veto rights of different organizations, say who can be part and who be not part of the process, must disappear. There's a silent veto, but there is a veto. There's a sort of secrecy also involved within our proper forces. So I think that we have to be careful with this, because in the final analysis, See, people are part of, are not attracted by the process. They won't come to us. As it was said before, it'll be like it was. There was a group that was that had the information, that knew what to do, and there were people who were part of that. And then what happens in Seattle? After Seattle, it was a good moment. It was very interesting. But we didn't actually build anything for post-Seattle. We didn't build anything after Toronto. There are people who have the information. There's a group like this, but the people at the grassroots don't have the information. So what really affects us, it's more important that than the limited number of groups that are represented here. I just wanted to ask two questions. So please be very concise. My question is about Mercosur that Dorval mentioned. I think that we need to have this a little more elaborated because I don't know to what point Mercosur, representing 8% of the brute national product of the Americas, can really establish any kind of balance of power with NAFTA. And I think that from the point of view of the participation of the people in the social alliance, perhaps we need to develop national summits or regional summits, local summits in general, before the 2001 summit, so we would be able to have a good popular representation and participation at a wider level. I'm going to take the third question.
I would like to have some questions that are more local ones. So how can we can use better the internet websites that the Quebec government started, because they have the opinion of the people. They have it's short term. They have it's until September 8th that they are asking for opinions. And there's also a study commission on health and social issues that create an internet site where they tell us that there's going to be four kind of consultations in Quebec on financing and organizations of health and social services in Quebec, and they are also international experts, and they have what they call the Experts Forum, and they have also the forum on the Canadian experiences and Quebec experiences, and there's a fourth forum also, and there's going to be also a public questionnaire or survey where they're going to ask the community organizations, and all this is in a very short term. There's only 1 month to present the positions, but it's and it's one. There is one on the effect of globalization on health in Quebec, and this is a local issue. And I would like to know what is your opinion. If we should be very careful of these sites that are offered for us, should we offer our opinion or should we not? Who should we be suspicious or not? I would like to start with the question on globalization, against or for globalization. It is true that often we are questions, Don Johnston said that those who were against the globalization or those that were against the Renaissance, so you can see what kind of arguments, but we have to break that kind of argument, showing that the globalization they're talking about is a market globalization, and globalization, it's really to making the market global markets, and it's American style. And if we are able to discuss and present arguments and say that what we want is globalization of solidarities, that we want to be informed, that we would want to be you are against globalization, you are against progress, I think this is a very easy argument. It's quite a stupid, so it's easy to and there's something else to say. A lot of times I'm asked that question because I went to see the Bloc Québécois and presented my position. I remind them this phrase, this sentence of Raymond Aron, and I think that we should remember this sentence that says as follows: we choose our adversaries, but we don't choose our allies. And that's very important. I'm not going to start looking at who is with me. Some are against something, some against for something. We'll see that afterwards. First of all, we want to know what we are struggling with. And we have also an autonomy of these strategies. But there are people that have their own strategies, and I think that everybody has to have their own strategies. I feel more useful in certain aspects than in other, and to inform the non-informed. We talked about this approach. I think that today there is much less ignorance on globalizations. We went to different cities in Quebec and towns, talking about globalization. And we, of course, we have to educate. We have to inform. It's not only to educate people that don't know. We have to educate ourselves to make sure that what we say is clear. There are so many charlatans on globalization. Sometimes when an economist speaks, I don't understand a word, but I don't dare to say I don't understand, and we don't dare say, look, what you're saying makes absolutely no sense. And sometimes you have to not want it to answer, and we have to adapt our investigations, our research, but that has been all the time. It's not the ignorance against ignorance. We are in front of power that has a lot of knowledge, and that's but it's not the first time that it happens. We don't have the same power in terms of experts, and we know that history has been changed by number and not by brains. So that's what we have to remember. Sometimes we are uneasy with that kind of approach and said, well, you're against globalization, you are against progress. And I think that the idea is good. There's a whole lot of events that are going to happen now. Maybe we should do something about the G20 is going to be in Montreal, and in G20 we are going to have a teaching. They're going to ask us to explain what is this G20, and we'll be able to see what who is going to be able to be there, how can we mobilize, and it's going to be Montreal, but you know, we won't have time, but there is a meeting in Prague in September, 26th of September, and in Prague they are completely mobilized. Europe also is mobilized. We won't have time to mobilize. I think we have to choose certain moments, like, for example, the March of Women in October, to prepare all this movement that is going to go to Quebec. And the question of the websites that you talked about, the government websites, the organizations that will be able to answer to those in those sites, they should do it. But if you could make it more visible and try to spread it through the networks, it is kind of a trap. First of all, we have the impression that we are consulted, and you think that you have to go because if you don't go, they are going to do it without you. You mentioned two parliament commissions. There's another, a third one that you didn't mention, on the universities, that is doing exactly the same way in a very short time. And so there are people that have the time to work on it. That's fine, but it's not a dialogue. This is that if we can have a critical analysis of what is happening and try to spread it laterally, I think that yes, it could be interesting. interesting. There are quite some interesting things in this in the webs. That's there where we find all the negotiations on the FTAA. I think we have to interpret everything that we read in the web, and we have to look for, analyze it, and spread the analysis. And I think that yes, we should do it. But this. We want to spread our critical thinking. I think that somebody should go to this health and social services consultation. I hope that my colleagues are going to go and participate on the consultation on universities, because they're talking about privatizing and I don't know what they call it, the performance standards and whatever in universities. I think that participation is important. Nevertheless, is anybody that would like to answer those questions? Because Marta Anneker that has a question or a comment. I would like to know that, I would like please to tell you that please read the article that is in this booklet, because I there try to, I make an effort to make a differentiation between globalizations, and I try to use a pedagogical approach that could be used in the people's movement, and I would like you to read it and to see if it's going to be useful. Because in Latin America, I don't know what my comrade from Mexico says, but in Latin America, we have a certain left that doesn't want to see what is new in the world. They don't that look behind, look to the past. And I think we should forward, look forward and have new policies. And that's why I think it's important what has been said here. It's not only the enemies that criticize us. I think it's in the left there that people don't understand this new phenomenon. You had a question on the Mercosur that was addressed to Dorval. No, yes, you're right. There is an imbalance between the partners of the Mercosur and the states, but it could go wrong. Remember what happened in Seattle. What happened in Seattle, the things went sour inside. It's inside the WTO. No, I'm not a fatalist. I think that with a certain support and with certain work, they can resist.
Are there any other questions? Any other comments? Claire Saburin. I have posted some information, and I would also like to bring up another question that was brought up earlier. First of all, in terms of information, I'm part of two different organizations that are already preparing events related to the continental integration. The first, with the Friends of the Monde Diplomatique, they're going to have a day of reflection where Dorval has been invited. And the organization has not been finished up, but the idea is to lead to a debate. And I'll come back to this. I'm also involved with another organization that is perhaps less well-known in North America, or in Quebec at least, that for the last few years has been preparing a very important event in the world, things that are going on in all the various different continents, and the team here in Montreal is working with their counterparts in Latin America. I can't give you any details about the event because it's still being put together, but we do like to know that we like to work along the lines of continental integration. This is the Alliance for a Responsible and Solidarity World. And why I'm mentioning these elements is because it's been a few months that I've been trying to work with a few other people on within this framework, and there have been a lot of different difficulties, I must admit. If I put all the pieces together, as someone who spoke before has said, it was quite difficult on my part to understand how the Continental Social Alliance works, how we could become part of it, how we could discuss within it. On the other hand, There've also been questions about the document that was circulating, which I thought was very interesting. But when I was at the presentation of the group in April, I hoped that there would be a series of events that would be discussing the content based on this document. I thought this was a document for consultation. I would have liked during this weekend that we should have had discussion, debates about this this document, and we're talking about form and content. I know it's not, we're going from one to the other. I know it's not easy to organize all this, but I would like to understand a little better to what point everything is open here. What was presented in the initial presentation to give the impression that there was everything, the door was open, but other people said that when we found that we weren't actually integrated in the representative structures of the labor movement or other organizations, that it was very difficult to find room within the dynamics. So I don't know what the person who spoke before me was referring to, but it did empathize with the experiences that I've had. So I'd like to know to what point the very people who have worked very seriously up to now and who will be working in the future see access for other groups. How much space is there for exchange of ideas and debate? That's a very good question, both on the alternative document and on the access to debate. Because the status, take about the document on the alternatives, the status of this document is that it's an informal document. It's a document that was put together by different contributions for the Santiago Summit, and which is evolving constantly. Formally speaking, it has never been adopted. There is no direct group that puts together the Continental Social Alliance. It puts together networks. For example, the Quebec Network for Continental Integration is a member of the alliance, which is member of the network of the CSN, is part of the Quebec network, and the CNCU has not voted at any level on this document. This document, which is called Alternatives for the Americas, so it hasn't gone through a process of being adopted or being amended in any kind of formal way. What was agreed between us last spring was that there were some corrections that needed to be done, and that there needed to be a debate on the content and how to diffuse the document. And this document should be the basis of debate during the fora of the summit in Quebec City. And this document belongs to everybody. There's no copyright on it. The most that I can say is it's not something that's been voted in or adopted. It's not a resolution of a General Assembly that's been chosen by different instances here. And anybody can use it in any way they would like. I don't know if anybody can be more precise. So on the question of the document des alternatives, because I see once again there's a certain difficulty, and I'm going to take up this difficulty, that we try and think. I'm just carrying on with what you were saying. It's the age of the right of the elder. So what I'm saying, that we have to find an answer to this question, and what I'm saying is the following problem. In Santiago, we filled up all the halls, and in each there were 150 people in each workshop. That was very good. It was the first time. It was the beginning. And the process started up. Now we're going to have a problem, not just a political problem, but a logistics problem. How are we going to widen a debate beyond the capacity of what we can handle? If we got to have 1,000, or say, or 300, 400, and I'm not even sure I'm exaggerating, in each session, how can we handle this? And I'm saying this because I'm sure that Hector is listening to me, and I'm sure that he's going to, in Mexico City, the question is going to be brought up. We're a network that we've set up, all a training and information system, and people are mobilized, people are ready to do something. What are we going to offer them? is can we integrate this thinking, this process, this thought process into the alliance as it exists now? Can we widen it because it's in Quebec City and then close it up once it's finished? I don't know. People that are interested in this subject that won't be stay involved afterwards, I think this is difficult. So to see just where we are now, what we're doing now is we're trying to see to what point we can define the fora, the different areas for discussion, because we've had various ideas. We've talked about this before, for example, the different groups that they use the document, Les Alternatives, or that they have at least some kind of minimal participation in the Americas, and that people just arrive and that are very interested, and as I said a minute ago, they're going to disappear 2 days later because they'll be involved with something else. But they'll be involved with the question of Quebec 2001. How to do this? There's a double mechanism at this point. The mechanism of maintaining the alliance with its different correspondents throughout the Americas, and we have to see to what extent we're doing this. We have to leave a lot of room for our guests. How much room will there be for the people from here? And this is a basic question. And the other forum in Quebec and in Montreal, we have a convergence table. This convergence table is the different groups that feel that they need to, that feel called upon and that aren't necessarily part of the network, that aren't really interested in the network or can't enter the network, sort of the residual groups, but they want to do this for the Quebec 2001. And then so in Montreal, it's the convergence table. So the different friends, they were there, and then they didn't come here, so Attack Quebec is there, and etc. The FIC is there, SFPQ, which is the Civil Servants and Professionals Union of Quebec, and the table keeps getting bigger. So how are we going to be able to organize this? This is another discussion that we have to have within the network. Are we going to have to set up parallel instances? Are we going to have a popular parliament? But in terms of logistics, we're going to have to ask the question that you were asking and try and find a solution over the next week, 8 months, and also see how it's going to be financed. And these are the difficulties. I'm going to say at this moment, it's not just a question, it's a very serious concern. Who are the instances of those that are involved in this are ATAC in Quebec and the table of convergence here. And I'd like that Hector in Mexico City to talk about this again. There's going to be a very strong mobilization in Montreal, even if we talk about a parallel movement. If there's something in Quebec and Montreal and everywhere, Saint-Ubal and Three Rivers, Trois-Rivières, and everything, this is objective. But we will not resolve this question. What will happen about Quebec City? Can we talk about decentralization? Why not do something before? Maybe we should increase the pressure beforehand, start beforehand. I don't know. But I think that the alliance is something that was built around 2,000 participants. What happens when there's 8,000? Just in terms of logistics, I'm not even from the political point of view.